The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
From the other side of the river to you, it's the Nate Darling Show.
YOLO!
Featuring Sam Platt, Diana Hong, and Kareem Daniels. And now, taking with you to bed, here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. I'll turn the vibrate feature on for you. It's nice. Ooh. Nice! Yeah, I mentioned. Jason, do you know about the bed vibrates?
Your new bed vibrates?
Indeed. Indeed. We sprung for not only a lovely mattress, a very lovely mattress, which, thanks to Amazon, Sleep Train price matched.
Yeah.
Plus, they knocked, their price match thing was they'll match it and then knock another 5% off.
Ooh.
So, I saved... We saved like $1,200 on the mattress.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
It was a big amount of money that we saved on the mattress. And Sushi Brian also saved some money by price comparing on Amazon. So not only is Amazon great for like saving you money buying stuff, it's great for price matching, too.
Can I say hi to Sushi Brian?
You can.
Hey, Brian. What's up, dude?
He messaged me. He's like, you know, I'm going to reveal to people that I'm Sushi Brian. It's like, if anybody actually listened to the show, they'd probably be able to figure it out. Because we mentioned your restaurant was Kimon Sushi, and they kind of know who you are.
What's up with that new place, man? Why don't you get your old place back in there right now? Man, I live down the street. It's ridiculous.
Be like Brian. Save money by shopping Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. It helps support the show. It does not cost you anything extra. We do appreciate it. Mentioned Leslie went to Europe. Amazon Prime now, you can download shows to your mobile device. Download them so you can watch them on the plane with no Wi-Fi.
You should do that.
Exactly. So Amazon, check out Amazon Prime. They've got free memberships, stuff like that, or free month. The first month, I think, is free. If you're a student or know someone who's a student, it's like half price.
Yeah, there's no reason not to.
Yeah. So, and of course, the shipping, the free two-day shipping and all that jazz. I'll be doing my shopping for Christmas and other holidays on Amazon, as well as when I want to treat myself to something nice.
That's yeah, right. And if you like this show, you should just go ahead and click through and support
me. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to shop Amazon anyway, if you're not going to shop at Amazon, if you're one of these people, I only shop local, let me just remind you, there are Amazon warehouses locally here in Northern California.
They're in Tracy.
That's yeah. right. And in the Bay Area, too.
Yeah, so...
I've had stuff come directly from the Bay Area.
Ah.
So, yeah, they're all over the place. You know, whatevs. So do your thing. Help us out. Do your Christmas shopping, your Halloween costume shopping. Still time for that.
Yeah, mine as well.
Halloween candy. Candy.
We just bought some... Oh, I don't know if Chris clicked through. I need to tell her mom. It was her mom. But Ferrero Rocher. They just bought some of those for the wedding. So.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yes, you need to have them buy an order.
Yeah, I need to let her know. Right?
That's right.
Yeah, let her know.
To let her know. I'm the man. I wear the pants in this...
No, I'll be like, hey, Sue, listen, if you're listening right now, because you might, because you're an amazing mom, you know, just click through the Nate Darling Show's link and to Amazon and support the show.
That's right. No mother-in-law jokes here.
No, I'll do mom jokes about my mom.
I have some ex-mother-in-law jokes. They're not really jokes. They're just terrible, terrible people.
Sue's amazing. Sue is the most amazing woman.
I'm sure Sue is a delight.
Sue is a delight.
I don't know her. I'm just going to assume it.
I'm going to leave this alone. Move the conversation forward. I don't want to do to you what that guy said to him on the last show.
Thanks, buddy.
So it's Friday. Tonight is Juke Joint Friday at the Brick House Art Gallery. Kareem.
That's right. We got Jason Wrestler. And the back alley buzzards, I have been in some back alleys and I have never seen any buzzards.
So that is tonight. You can get tickets on Eventbrite before you go if you'd like for $10 plus the service charge, or you can get them for $15 at the door.
That's it.
So here's the thing. If you're like, just get $15 and go to the door.
Exactly.
Because it's really not a whole $5 because there is a service charge that goes with it. I didn't say that before. So I wanted to get your pre-sale up. But there is a service charge on there, so it is a couple bucks extra to pay at the door, but then you just go in and hand cash.
Just hand cash, and you want to talk about supporting local.
That's right, and there's no better place in Sacramento to walk around with cash than Oak Park.
It's a lot safer than 21st and K.
It's a lot safer than it used to be. It is a lot safer. The white part of Oak Park. I like to remind people.
No, I'm kidding. It's perfectly fine. It's actually a really nice part of Oak Park.
That is, and there are old white women walking their dogs.
Yeah, the gentrification is underway.
There are young white women in Lululemon pants.
I'm in.
There are white people bringing their dog to the brewing company.
Parking crazily there with their kids.
Their strollers every fucking where.
You know, here's the thing. I don't know. And I've talked about my irritation with it. But you know what? If I ever have kids at this point, and Jason, I encourage you to do the same. Because the fucking cat's out of the bag. And bring your fucking kid everywhere you go. No limits. Going to the strip club for a nice evening, bring your kid along.
Yeah, fuck it. And your dog.
And your cat. Bringing the cat. I'm going to bring Hef. I'm bringing Hef.
That is it.
He's a 16-pound cat.
It's like taking him to, what is that? I can't think of the name of the restaurant.
Olive Garden?
No.
Hooters?
Hooters. Yeah.
Hooters.
He's motioning, even though this is the podcast, he's motioning.
There's no video thing. He's forming a shelf with his hands under what would be fake breasts.
That is it. Hooters is a family restaurant in the South.
It's a family restaurant everywhere. If you don't tell your family you go there, that's.
No, I've seen wife and kids and everything.
Oh, yeah.
God damn.
Yeah. Well, they go and they make friends.
That's it.
What goes on?
Well, usually because most of the girls in Hooters don't have no Hooters anyway.
Yeah, it's really weird. One of the WWE divas who wrestles under the name Nikki Bella used to be a Hooters girl. Well, she's got fake tits now.
Yeah, she didn't have them when she was at Hooters.
No. Her twin sister is very flat-chested, as she was. But when she worked at Hooters, she did not have Hooters.
Yes.
Which is ironic, but kind of sad. By the way, if you want to... seriously, if you find yourself in Santa Monica, that's a Hooters to go to. Any Hooters near where women would wear bikinis a good portion of the year is the Hooters to go to. You don't necessarily want to go to the Hooters where you have to wear a big coat half the year.
Yeah, I went to the one in Buffalo, and it was the worst Hooters in existence.
Here's the thing you have to remember about Hooters. All of the Hooters girls are local girls.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is if you're in Buffalo and you're eating wings at anywhere other than Anchor Bar or Dust, you're probably doing it wrong.
Yeah. I don't think they have black people at Anchor Bar and Dust.
No, really?
I don't know.
Oh, man. Don't tell me that.
Upstate New York is...
Yeah, it can't be on the outside.
That's Western New York.
Yeah. Well, because my friend moved to Syracuse and I drove her from here to Syracuse, and we went to dinner, and there was a little white kid that looked at us like they had never seen any black people.
Well, yeah,
like she stared at us like the whole time.
It's cold there, Kareem.
Like, oh my god!
But Buffalo is also where W.D. Du Bois is, like, right? He's up from up there. That whole Niagara thing, right? The Niagara, like that's like the
That's possible. That he's probably the only black person they claim. somebody that plays for the Buffalo Bills.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I was going to say the Sabres, but no.
Is there any black guys that play for the Sabres?
I don't know if there are any that play for the Sabres. P.K. Subban is one of the best players on the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah.
Here's the fun part about that. So P.K. Subban, who plays for Montreal, they go to play Boston. I think it was last year or the year before. And Boston, not known for its acceptance of people of color, necessarily. So he gets some of the worst signs you will ever see. It's like he's in Spain.
Yeah.
It's that bad. And, you know, people yelling terrible things. Here's the fun part. Those same people, later on that year, cheered his brother, who is a member of the Bruins. He was in their farm system at that point.
Yeah.
His brother, who is every bit as black as he is. I love the dichotomy that is Boston.
Yes.
So ridiculous.
It's like Droma Aginlia.
Jerome McGinley, yeah.
Yeah, he's another good hockey player.
He's nearing the end of his career. He's a little older.
Yeah.
A little long in the tooth. But there are more and more, I'm going to just say black, not African-American, because most of them are Canadian.
Yeah.
Black Canadian hockey players. Because there's a fair number of black guys and ladies around the greater Toronto area.
Yeah.
Specifically. And
I know a few of them.
Like everybody else, they grow up and it's hockey, hockey, hockey.
Yeah.
And if there's going to be some that are going to grow up and be able to skate and play really well, and it's going to be, and it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's awesome that we're finally getting a little integration into hockey.
There's one of the sportscasters for ESPN. I can't remember what his name is, but he was a hockey player. He's a black guy who was a hockey player.
Grant Fuhr.
No,
Grant Fuhr is going way back. He played on the Edmonton Oilers with Gretzky, and he was the goalie.
Yeah, I can't think of the guy's name, but he does the Sunday morning show with the sports reporters. He's usually up there.
John Saunders. John Saunders.
Yeah.
So Juke Joint Friday. Jason, any plans for the weekend? Going to Juke Joint Friday?
Oh, and it's my birthday.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, happy birthday today. Happy
birthday today.
Today, yeah. Friday.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Friday, the 16th.
Friday the 16th.
Friday the 16th.
What's going on? Jason, you got anything going? I know you've got the wedding coming up in next month.
Yeah, nothing. I don't think I have anything. I might have a show on Saturday. I don't know. I mean, so go see Anti-Cooperation League on Saturday. At the Sacramento Comedy Spot.
But make sure you ask before you go, before you buy your ticket, is Jason in the show?
Yeah, definitely.
And if they say Jason's not in the show tonight, just go, fuck all y'all, and just turn on your heel and walk away.
I'm down. Like,
I'm just kidding.
Build me some, like, hey, Jason, we might be people call. They want you on stage. Like, you need to get down here. That'd be awesome. Do it.
I will be at the Brown Fellinis on Saturday night.
Nice.
I can't wait.
What?
The Brown Fellinis.
The Brown Fellinis?
That sounds like something from Urban Dictionary.
There's
like a
I gave her the Brown Fellini.
They're a jazz group. Great.
Okay.
Saxophone player. Yeah.
Really?
Nice.
Yeah.
Where are they?
They're out of San Francisco when they used to have the show the music festival by the river. They used to close the jazz stage every year. And Ross Hammond is having them at the Golden Lion Theater. And I'm so happy because I haven't seen them in like 20 years. But they're excellent.
Very, very nice. Let's see. What is coming up? I'm trying to see. Oh, we missed it.
Oh.
By the way, I'm going to just this for the room. We should have mentioned this on Wednesday. At the Strand, Wednesday, which was 2 days ago. Monty Python and the Holy Grail 40th anniversary on 35mm film.
Ooh.
So next week if we go to see that, we'll talk about that. Have either of you seen The Martian yet?
No.
I have heard such amazing things about The Martian that at first I had no interest in going to see The Martian, and now I kind of want to go see The Martian.
I've
also heard a lot of women think it's based on a true story, which is hilarious to me.
Yeah, I'm on a Matt Damon timeout right now.
Oh, okay. Understood. If you need an explanation, Google Matt Damon Project Greenlight, and something will come up about a black lady.
Which sucks, because I was a really big Bourne fan.
Yeah.
Well, I was a really big Matt Damon fan.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And I don't think it's one of those things where it's sort of not on purpose, not really. If he's the most racist white guy you know, you're probably doing okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be that bad.
And,
also, also coming up at the... I'm not getting paid by The Strand, but coming up on Halloween, they're going to be having a double feature of A Nightmare on Elm Street and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Which version of Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
I'm guessing the original, because that's what it says. Let's see what it says. Yeah, it looks like it. Yep, the original one.
Awesome.
That's
you should go see that
if you're into horror. I love the first. My favorite scary movie that I love watching every year is the original Halloween, And a close second is the original Friday the 13th. Because I love watching Kevin Bacon get killed. A young Kevin Bacon gets killed in a great way.
Nightmare on Elm Street. I was a really big fan of that one.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be the first of the double feature at 7:30 at the Crest.
Dream Warriors is probably my favorite. When it came out, like I was like 13, 12 years old, and it was like, oh, this is so cool. They're fighting back just the way I would in my dream.
One, two, friends coming for you. Three. Better lock your door.
I know people to this day that cannot handle little kids like singing slow like that. They get freaked out. Little kids singing makes me so scared.
Oh yeah, absolutely terrifying. Also Green Day's "Heart Like a Hand Grenade," playing at the tower yesterday. So many good things I need to see at movies. The Tower Theater in Sacramento also showing Psycho. They're having Hitchcocktober.
Ooh,
which nice. I have not heard, but they're doing that, and I'm just checking here. Oh, that doesn't say what they're doing. It does not in fact say that the movie, that the documentary about the Tower Theater is going to be playing at the Tower Movie Theater.
Oh.
But Back to the Future Part 2 is playing on October 21st. By the way, I'll be so happy when we get out of this month and everybody who's been pointing out the movie and everything can stop it. Man. Just stop it. Please stop it. That's all I ask. Please stop. All right.
The people at home, I just want to say you are missing a funny show of Kareem dodging his mic as he like is getting into this game. He's just like...
Right now, as we're looking at it, there's 5 seconds left in the game, and his Steelers are down.
So, and they're on the half-yard line.
With a flag.
Yeah, they're down by 3 at this point. At this point, you know how the game ended. But while you're going about that, since we brought up football, Victor Cruz, NFL star for the Giants, here's what happened. An anonymous tipster, a female, got a text yesterday from a woman claiming to be his fiance. It said, here's the text. Hello, ladies. This is Alenia, Victor Cruz's fiance. You all know about me, and I seem to be the topic of conversations in all of your conversations with Vic. I'm sure he's told you many of the things about us and how we don't exist, but given the fact that you all meet him in hotel rooms only, we all know that's a lie. He, just as he tells me you all are whores and mean nothing to him. I figure since you all know about me, then I should introduce each one of you to each other so that we can all know who we have all been fucking for the past several months. So ladies, meet one another and feel free to exchange notes. Whoops. Victor Cruz. That's cool. Somebody posted that on Facebook, and I said, women can be so cold. And of course, yes. The first thing that happened is this woman goes, what do you mean? He blah, 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 blah. And I go, I didn't say men couldn't be cold. I just said women are cold.
There's a reason there's that saying by Shakespeare.
Which one?
The scorn. Like, you know, like there's nothing like a woman's scorn.
Hell hath no fury like a woman's scorn.
There you go. See, I knew you guys knew it.
Yeah, that's the, you know.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Right.
Yes!
Oh, Steelers just touchdown. But, I mean, again, this is 4 years old at this point. So Victor Cruz's day got ruined.
Yeah. Probably his next 3 or 4 months, possibly.
Oh, I'm sure he and his cock will bounce back just fine. He is an NFL star.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he'll be okay. I mean, his cock may have to take a couple days off, but it'll be fine.
Yes.
It'll be fine. By the way, Nicki Minaj she's laid the smackdown on Miley Cyrus, and I think this is going to be a drop the mic situation because it's over. In the latest New York Times magazine, she says something very well reasoned regarding Miley Cyrus's engagement with black culture. It is pointed and specific without getting unfairly personal or malicious. So here's what it said. The fact that you feel upset about me speaking on something that affects black women makes me feel like you have some big balls. You're in videos with black men, and you're bringing out black women in your stages, but you don't want to know how black women feel about something that's so important? Come on! You can't wait for the, you can't want the good without the bad. If you want to enjoy our culture and our lifestyle, bond with us, dance with us, have fun with us, twerk with us, rap with us, then you should also want to know what affects us, what's bothering us, and what we feel is unfair to us. You shouldn't not want to know that.
That's true.
So basically, here's what happened. Nicki Minaj, lady, tells somebody that she just wants someone to listen. Miley. So now Miley Cyrus, now you know what it's like to be a guy. Welcome to the world of male privilege. Welcome to the world of male privilege, where you should want to know. Do you want to know? Probably not. You just want to... Exactly.
I just want to be able to appropriate your culture without any repercussions.
Yes, and I saw it happen. Like, I don't know if you saw that kid that was dancing at the Kings game.
Well, to be fair, I want to appropriate pussy without any of the repercussions of long conversations. I'm kidding about that, Leslie. That's an old single me talking that way. But I mean, that's really what guys want. I mean, quite honestly. You want to appropriate all the pussy you can without having to sit around and listen to yak.
Didn't you just call Bill Cosby out about that last week?
I had a moment that I wanted to share. Like that kid that was, unless we're going to talk about the kid dancing. The kid dancing, like he like got like internet famous for a few minutes because he was dancing, doing the whip and the nay-nay, and then he did the twerking, right? And it was like a 8-year-old kid, 9-year-old kid, and everybody loves a goofy white kid dancing like that. But then he said that he did it, and then he's like, I got that move from Miley Cyrus. She invented twerking. Like, I was like, you just did it. She totally appropriated it. Like, it's completely done. It is completely been like... Sorry, black people again. You know, it's like
look, I am not going to apologize to black people about Miley Cyrus, and here's why: you all let her in. Yo, and oh, look at that! It's a white girl. Like, and how many black guys really want to kick out a white girl who wants to shake her ass? How often is that going to happen?
A lot of us laugh at her.
Well, yeah,
there's somebody that's hitting it, but the rest of us we laugh at her.
But anyway, so that's
her specifically, not oh
no. All right, well let's make fun of someone who really has a little bit more sway in the real world than Miley Cyrus was. Dr. Ben Carson.
Oh wait, but I will say this about that: if you're gonna if we're gonna let you in,
right?
You better act like you got let in and not like you weren't let in and you don't know what the fuck's going on.
Well, I just wandered in here. I don't know what's going on. I
mean, yeah, you might get punched in the face if you try to act like you don't know what's going on.
So Dr. Ben Carson, speaking
can't of... get in his bag and then be like, oh, I forgot there were some rules that go along with that.
Speaking of getting in his black, Rupert Murdoch talking about Dr. Ben Carson said, you know, it would be great to finally have a real black president. Which I found interesting coming from an Australian white guy. But Dr. Ben Carson's been going around for the past week or so talking about, and now I've talked about shootings, we've talked about shootings on this guy. Dr. Ben Carson's been talking about shootings. And in a weird way.
When do we get to the point where we have people who actually want to solve our problems rather than just politicize everything? I think that's what the American people are so sick and tired of.
Yeah, but you never hate to let a good crisis go to waste.
They certainly, the politicians, right. I mean, they are feasting on it.
But Dr. Carson, would you go? If the people of the community say don't go, would you still go if you're president on Friday?
Probably not. I mean, I would probably have so many things on my agenda that I'd go to the next one.
Sure.
He'd go to the next one! The next one. He's too busy to go and console the families of shooting victims, but he'd go to the next one.
Yeah. The fact that there is a next one is the issue, right?
Yeah, that's the issue.
That's the issue.
I told you last week, when they stop caring about white kids dying, then that's when you motherfuckers are in trouble.
Now, here's the other thing about Dr. Ben Carson. Somebody asked him, have you ever had... Have you ever had a gun pulled on you? Because he made a lot of headlines for talking about how he'd be like, come on, guys, let's charge the guy with the gun. He can't kill all of us. So somebody said, Dr. Ben Carson, have you ever had a gun pulled on you?
I have had a gun held on me when I was in a Popeyes organization.
Wait, you eat Popeyes as a doctor? Was this before?
In a Popeyes organization. Not a restaurant. In the organization.
That's how you know he was lying.
Well, by the way, this is the Daily Show made a big deal of this. And Trevor Noah, fantastic Dr. Ben Carson impression. Go to PopeyesGivesBack.org. It's a website set up by The Daily Show. But let's go on, Dr. Carson. What happened when you had a gun held on you at the Popeyes organization?
Were you a doctor? Because I don't know. Full disclosure.
We have to die of something.
Okay.
chicken gunshot wound. Something's going to kill us.
May as well get some enjoyment, right?
Okay.
But at any rate,
Dr. Benny's fried chicken, y'all. You want to test his blackness? There it is.
At any rate, guy comes in, puts the gun in my ribs, and I just said, I believe that you want the guy behind the counter.
In that calm way, in that calm way. Okay.
He said, "Oh, okay." Over there.
So he died. He's like, don't put the gun on me. You want to put the gun on the guy behind the counter?
Yeah.
Why didn't you charge him then?
He didn't tackle him.
No, he didn't tackle anybody.
Shoot him.
the guy that did tackle him got 6 bullets in his ass.
But here's the fun part. So they've done some digging at the Baltimore PD, which is where Dr. Ben Carson was at that point. There's no record of any of that happening. It's cut made up. Or maybe he was at a different Popeyes organization. Because
could have been at churches or maybe you just gotta mix up.
He was in Baltimore, it could have been a church. he did get ripped off at the church. He just didn't realize it.
Yeah, let's quibble over which chicken restaurant it was at that he made this up about.
Who's talking about a restaurant? I'm talking about the church.
That is an organization, yes. It's true.
That's what he got confused.
Okay, let me just clarify.
Motherfuckers took too many ties.
This man is right behind Donald Trump in the Republican polls right now. So anyway, that's going on. And now let's judge.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right, first up in Cool or Tool, group texts. Kareem?
Tool, because they get you in trouble.
Jason?
It's so hard because sometimes it's a good group, sometimes it's not, you know? I mean, you just have to... So, I'm going to say Tool.
Yeah, it's Tool. Here's the thing. And to begin with, they're okay. You want to get a message out to everybody? Send out a group text. But then, when you're going to have a back and forth that only concerns two of you, don't just fucking hit reply. Start a new text chain, asshole.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's not that hard.
That's what I'm talking about.
Up next in Cooler Tool, Nicki Minaj, Jason.
Oh, she's cool.
Green.
I'm not a fan of Tool.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm with Kareem on this because she gets all offended because people don't look at my ass. Like, well, that's what you put out there for people to look at. That's how you got famous. Got ass famous.
But she was like, first of all, she said that thing about Miley Cyrus, right?
She said that thing about Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, but she said that, right? What she said was very thoughtful and, present. I liked it, what she said. It was, and then on SNL, she was dope on SNL this last week. I'm sorry.
Okay. You're allowed your opinion.
Thank you guys.
It's America. And finally in Cooler Tool, Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson. Kareem?
Tool of the ultimate.
Jason?
There's nothing functional about him, so it's not even a tool.
I'm going to give him a cool, and here's why. Because I read this article that brain surgeons are very excited now. This is actually a thing, because they can go to parties, and no one expects them to be really smart anymore. Like, they had quotes from these brain surgeons who are like, I used to go to fucking parties all the time. Everybody expected me to know everything because I'm a brain surgeon. But now all of America gets to see that you can be a very skilled brain surgeon, the most skilled brain surgeon, and still be a fucking moron about everything else. So I'm gonna give him a cool for that reason and that reason only. And that's going to do it for Cool or Tool.
Could be your next president.
Oh, man. I swear to God. You know, it's hard to say what would be worse. Donald Trump, him, Ted Cruz? Yeah. Basically, all they're doing is fighting over who's going to lose to Hillary at this point. Although I would love to see Bernie Sanders getting a shot. But,
man, I hope so.
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, at this point, we had the first Democratic debate this week, so.
I think Jeb might be the best Bush president that we would ever have.
It's a pretty high bar you're setting, Kareem. The best Bush president.
I think they could get it right the third time.
Because he learned from what his father did wrong. And he knew he wasn't ready when George ran.
Right.
That's why he didn't run then.
Right.
And then, you know, George had to be that impetuous little brother and be like, oh, I'm going to do it because I'm going to show you that I can do something right because I done fucked up everything else in life.
And I'm going to avenge Daddy.
And I'm going to avenge Daddy, and I'm going to be Daddy's favorite instead of you, Jeb.
And Jeb is like, I'm just working with Florida, dude.
I'm down here in Florida.
I'm just trying to work with this.
Jeb's like, I'm not ready for that yet. I'm going to give a little bit more time.
All right. So retail. I worked in retail for a very short period of time. Jason, you've worked in retail?
Oh, yes, sir.
Kareem, you ever work in retail?
Yes.
Well, this guy worked for Kmart for 4 years. I don't know if it was his college time. You're pumping your fists over there.
I listened to this.
And so they had to get a cassette every month that they were supposed to play. And at the end of the month, normally you'd throw away the cassette because it's pretty worn out, whatever. This guy kept every cassette. And I don't know why this is just going viral now. I think it's just because everything got digitized and put up as like big blocks. But he did this YouTube video quite a while ago explaining about the tapes and how they would all work. And it's pretty riveting stuff.
Usual collection of cassette tapes. These are all in-store audio tapes that were played at the Kmart Corporation between 1989 and about 1994. I worked for Kmart for 10 years. I started off at the Ogden Mall, store 3066, which is closing in April of 2013. I then worked at...
So you know it's more than 2 years old.
First in Kedzie, Bridgeview, Harwood Heights, Norwich, and then ended at Villa Park in 1999. When I worked at Naperville, I worked at the service desk, and we would get these tapes every month to play, and they would play continuously on an auto reverse deck behind the service desk. And every month,
I'm going to pot this down and just sort of skip ahead so we can actually hear something, hopefully. Because him just rambling on about the cassettes is really boring.
In the article, the very first one is a nice jazz track at the beginning.
Happy organ. Either that or it's a knockoff of the happy organ.
Makes you want to buy cheap shit, doesn't it?
Okay, so, you know, you would shop to this, and now that's typical of Kmart. I think back in the 80s when this company was a lot different, it was very ma and pa and very low-key like that, so... What then happened is a company called Tower Sound and Communications was brought on.
Ooh.
And this was around 1992. These tapes were much higher quality, and a lot of these featured mainstream music. Let's go ahead and play this one, and let's see what's on here. So the music and instrumental stuff went away, and you'd have more of the type of stuff that's on this tape. Let's see what's on here. Less hiss as well. It's like an opening jingle. Okay, I don't know what song this is, but this is definitely mainstream.
it's definitely something. but they're all available on archive.org. So ton of stuff, and here's some of the good stuff.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, so that's a little laid back. How about this? It's the extra special 30th birthday program from March 1st of 92 when they were instructed to play it at a much higher volume. And you'll see why. Love that sound.
The year 1962. JFK is in the White House. The Clampets are in Beverly Hills. The Beatles are waiting to be discovered. And people in Michigan are discovering a great new place to shop. 30 years ago today, March 1st,
Echo is added to your voice for no reason.
A household name, a name synonymous with value, opens its doors.
Kmart.
March 1st, 1962. K-M-A-R-T. Folks listening to the car radio on their way to visit
KMRT
might have been hearing this.
Kareem, did we steal this from the black people too?
I think we were done with it by the time we got to this point.
I think you can have it.
Okay, enough of that. Archive.org if you want to hear old Kmart tapes. Can you imagine the time it spent to do that?
The peppermint twist.
Just thank goodness for that guy. I mean, just think of like the next dinner party you have. You don't even have to think about music now. Just go ahead, pop on one of those, put it on your smart TV that you got through Amazon by clicking through the Nate Darling Show.
Mm-hmm.
And you have an hour and a half of music. It's going to be awesome. They'll tell you about the deals going on.
Yeah. Here's the other thing you can listen to, and this is on YouTube. Look for Yacht Rock on YouTube.
Seen that.
So that's another insider tip for you.
Jimmy Fallon does that like once a year.
Yeah. So
have you seen it?
No.
Yeah. I think he said Christopher Cross.
Oh, God. Who doesn't love Christopher Cross?
Well, Yacht Rock isn't all just songs about boating. I mean, maybe it is when Jimmy Fallon does it because he's a hack. But I'm sorry. I'm lifting off the veil of Nisus and calling it like it is. Jimmy Fallon is a hack.
He doesn't have a talk show. He does not have a late show.
He laughs at his own jokes. He's a hack. If he did an open mic, and by the way, if you haven't seen the latest,
I laugh at my own jokes because they're funny.
If you haven't seen the latest Family Guy, you really should because Brian does open mics.
Ooh.
And the marquee outside the open mic is fantastic. So last week we talked about Danny Pinturo, who is HIV positive, former child star, gay, came out. He went on The View, and Candace Cameron Bure.
She was on there?
Yeah, they have this rotating cast of thousands on the fucking View.
Oh, man.
She had some questions for Danny Pinturo. Now, keep in mind, her brother is Kirk Cameron, who is the most religious, the nuttiest religious.
Closeted.
Oh, my God.
She saved Christmas, didn't he?
Yes, he did. She seems more normal than him, but is she? I think her Russian husband just goes, whatever. But she has some questions for him.
As someone who began appearing on TV at a young age, I've seen too many child stars whose lives have descended into dark, tragic places. But Danny Pinturo is using his journey to try to help save lives. But first, here's his story.
At just 8 years old, Danny Pinturo shot to stardom as the scene-stealing cutie from the beloved sitcom Who's the Boss?
I've got something great for show and tell.
Well, that's nice, sweetheart. What is it?
Here.
Years after the show ended, Danny tried to quietly live life as a gay man. But as a former child actor, his personal life wouldn't stay that way for long. While in college, a tabloid threatened to out him. So Danny decided to own his story and publicly declare he was gay. But after a long-term relationship ended,
who didn't know?
That story took a dark turn. Danny began experimenting.
Yeah, it was one of those things that anybody who cared to look at him kind of figured. Yeah.
In 2003, at just 27 years old, he was diagnosed with HIV. He's lived with this secret for 12 years until now. Hi, Danny.
Hi.
Thanks for being here. A few days ago that you revealed that you have been HIV positive for the past 12 years. Why now are you sharing this secret?
This is the kind of thing you've got to be really, really ready for. And I haven't been ready before this. You know, telling your family that you've got HIV is hard enough. Telling your friends that you had a meth problem is hard enough. Telling the country and waiting for their response is something you have to give. Yeah, it takes some time. Yeah,
it does. It goes back to when you were 27 year old. Mm-hmm. And how did it start? How did the meth problem start?
Yeah, that's the question of the day, because everyone thinks it comes back to child celebrity and that I was having a hard time in my life and all that. And unbelievably, it doesn't. The problem
stand up for that. Let's say that again. It's not just because we're child stars we go through this.
Yeah, of course.
It's not just because of that.
It's not just because of that.
Anybody can get hooked on meth.
Meth specifically, right. The problem with meth is that it's completely intertwined with sex. So as soon as I wanted to explore some rougher sides of my sexuality...
It's not intertwined with straight sex, happens, just to be clear.
You go down that road. Now, the reason I kept doing it over the years was probably because I had some stuff going on in my life that I was not ready to deal with or that I was having a hard time dealing with. But the initial moment, that first time, was because of sex, and that's the problem.
Can you tell us about the day you found out you were HIV positive?
Oh, man, I was working as a talent assistant here in New York. I was on my lunch break. It was my regular old six-month checkup. I had no idea. Went to the doctor's office and got the news. Walked back to work. Spent another 6 hours doing talent agent stuff. And went home and cried, you know? Yeah, it's that moment.
I want to know, do you take responsibility for your actions?
100%.
For being promiscuous, going into a lifestyle of having heightened sex because
yes.
of the meth that you were using.
100%.
I want to know what the message is, because you're the new, you want to be the face of HIV,
yes.
to give that a face.
That's quite a question. Do you take responsibility? He's on a national TV show talking about it. What do you think?
What kind of dumbass question was that? So, like, if he had a got a if he had a got it from a blood transfusion, would he see to ask him that question?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Do you take responsibility for the blood that they gave you?
Let's bring Arthur Ashe back and ask him. Nothing.
Dumbasses.
Anyway, all right. So to more ridiculous. You remember Kim Davis, the Kentucky clerk?
Yes.
Oh man.
Who won't issue marriage licenses? Well, she's gotten an offer, a real offer.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Of $500,000,
what,
to become porn's next leading lady?
Oh yeah.
Here's the rub, though. No pun intended. She would have to have sex with a non-white woman.
Do it.
A non-white woman.
Oh no, you didn't.
I did.
I am glad. I don't even want to know when it if it happens.
I can't wait to show you, Kareem. Yo, Kareem, look at this. Check this out.
It'll be in show prep. sneak it in. It comes from Dogfart Productions. So only the best.
Only the best.
They are, in fact, serious, according to the press release. With all the controversy surrounding Rowan County, Kentucky clerk Kim Davis's refusal to issue same-sex marriage licenses, even after the Supreme Court of the United States made same-sex marriage the law of the land, the Dogfart Network, which is a leading online destination for adult interracial content, is offering the holy Kim Davis a chance at redemption. The undisputed kings of interracial porn are dangling $500,000 to star in a scene for their site, ZebraGirls.com.
ZebraGirls.com.
Look for it on your browser, which is one of 23 sites in the company's vast adult entertainment empire.
ZebraGirls.com.
ZebraGirls, it specializes in lesbian interracial erotica, Kareem. They say, quote, "We here at Dogfart have always believed in equality. We have interracial sites, gay sites, straight sites, and we think Kim Davis has been appalling. Sorry. That's according to the Dogfart spokesman.
I'm sorry. The dog fart spokesman. We are giving her a chance at redemption. We're willing to drop $500,000 for Kim to come out to our studio and shoot an interracial lesbian scene for our network. The offer will stand for the next week. She will also be, she's also welcome to bring her family with her on an all-expense-paid vacation. Hey, kids, we're going to California.
So, Mom, can shoot a porno.
At the dog fart. We're going to the dog fart network, and then we're going to Disney.
Can I? Why they should have at least tried to offer, like, this, you know, that it's just a, it's just them trying to get publicity.
Well, sure, because even Kareem had not heard of ZebraGirls.com.
But at the same time, like, they should have offered up something that they, like, that's, they should, if they would have offered, like, hey, have sex with a black guy, you know, like, they, like that, that could actually possibly happen. Maybe she would, you know, maybe she would. So, I mean, they need to really put their money where their mouth is.
Well, here's, here's the thing. They're all about the same sex agenda. That's what their thing is. So,
I just want to see her.
And getting publicity for ZebraGirls.com. That's ZebraGirls.com.
They even got $500,000.
You'd be surprised. There are people who do very, very well in that realm. Hmm. They start getting subscriptions and whatever. I never understood the idea of subscribing to a porn site. There's so many samples.
So much free porn out there.
Seriously, the internet is like a Costco sampler of porn. And you know, if you stop at enough places and get a free sample, you're going to be full. You're not going to need to go to the restaurant and buy food later.
Why do you need more than a sample?
You don't want to chafe or anything like that.
Yeah, just take, I mean, just take care of business. Sample. Sample.
Oh, sweet Lord.
From goofballs to gators, here's Florida Corner.
All right, just like the last show, there's something going on at the Publix. Diana. A homeless man in Sebastian, Florida, was spotted at a Publix walking around with a human skull. A witness named Nick said he was using it like a puppet. It smelled like death. So he called 911 after he saw him walking around them with a skull at 10 a.m. on Tuesday. Said he was talking to it and showing it to customers. It's definitely a human skull. It's got teeth in it. That's what he told the 911 dispatcher. I'm standing in front of it, but I'm not touching it. How many college girls have said that? The Indian River County Sheriff's Office said that the homeless man was living in a wooded area near US 1 when he found the human remains and then walked to a Publix to report the body. He had put the skull on top of a trash can over there because he wanted to tell somebody to call the sheriff's office. When deputies arrived, the man led them to the remains, told the news station the body was deteriorated for so long the skull was simply sitting there with the rest of the bones. Investigators have not yet identified the cause of death or the gender of the victim. What I find interesting is that this guy employed a very similar strategy to Lassie when notifying the authorities that there was an issue.
I wonder if it's Yorick.
I knew him well. Also in Florida, I kind of feel bad for this lady because all she wanted was help from one of her friends, and her friend is obviously an idiot, and now she's got a problem.
Poured glue into her eye, and now her eye is glued shut. This is Katie Gatos, and Katie, you say that someone was throwing some debris around with a leaf blower last week?
Yes, and something blew into my eye. Screamed for someone else to get eye drops out of my purse, and they brought super glue and poured it in my eye.
So glue went right into your eye and immediately glued, sealed your eye shut?
As soon as I felt it burn, I closed my eye and screamed, called 911.
And have you been treated for it?
Yes.
And did the hospital, did the doctors, what did they say about your eye?
The doctor was concerned about maybe talking about surgery for losing my eye, and I went to see him today, but he turned me away because I didn't have payment.
So you can't get any more treatment at this moment?
Not until he receives payment.
Mm-hmm. So you don't know where to turn at this point. And your eye is actually glued shut. Can you show us one more time what you're talking about?
Doctor turns away somebody with a glued shut eye.
Oh my gosh, that looks so painful. I can tell you're in pain. So you don't know where to turn at this point. Have you thought about going back to the emergency room?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh my gosh, that looks painful. It hurts bad.
You should go fuck Rick Fox.
So as you see,
what's his name?
Rick Fox? Shut.
No, the mayor of Florida's governor.
And she says she's having trouble getting medical.
Rick Scott. Yeah, because he turned down that Medicare.
Oh, he did, didn't
he? Yeah, he did.
So apparently, she has been able to get treatment, but
did she lose her eye?
No. Thankfully, they were able to save the eye. At least that's the latest I've heard.
Oh my gosh, I can't. Oh my gosh, what? How do you even do that? I mean, I hope I don't have anybody that hates me so much in my family that I ask them for some eye drops and they hand me some super glue thinking it's going to be hilarious.
I never learned how to read, Mama. I don't know what it is. I brought you some Visine. Squirt some Visine in your eye to get rid of that debris.
It's super G. I can't read it, Mom.
Oh, Florida. And right next door to Florida is Georgia, home of Atlanta. Now, last week, Jessica Mendoza became the first woman to work as an analyst during an MLB postseason game as part of ESPN's broadcast for the Astros-Yankees wild card game, which the Yankees lost. Bye-bye, Yankees. So sad, right?
Poor Yankees.
She did a really good job for the most part. I mean, delivering the type of analysis that led her to get a larger role at ESPN this season during the MLB season.
You mean the ticket was just on the screen?
I don't know because I'm doing a show. See, she earned a spot calling Monday Night Baseball game back in August and was then promoted to the network's top baseball event when Curt Schilling was suspended in September for being a jackass. Mendoza, who's 34, she does have a few qualifications. She's an Olympic gold medalist in softball and considered one of the best players ever in the game. Softball and baseball, a little different, but,
similar.
Some fans were surprised to hear a woman on the TV last Tuesday night, particularly if they hadn't been following ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. But she'd been there calling games, passing out knowledge, earning good reviews from baseball people. There are certain fans that don't like her, but that's true of pretty much any announcer. Twitter rants by your average dude who has a problem with women, not really news. But Mike Bell, who's not your average guy, he's a sports radio jock in Atlanta. You'd think he'd know better. Nope. He has a radio show on 92.9 The Game. He knows broadcasting and how it works. And he should know there are some things you shouldn't say, but apparently he did not. He tweeted, a woman made history tonight after calling MLB's playoff game for ESPN. This is what an Atlanta radio guy thought of it. And here's the photo of some of his tweets. Really? A woman's softball slugger is a guest analyst on MLB wildcard game? Once again, ESPN is too friggin' cute for their own good. And you guys are telling me there isn't a more qualified baseball player ESPN can use than a softball player? Give me a break! By the time the comments were making national news, his radio station had suspended him.
Wow.
He did get to go on with a pre-recorded apology saying, I didn't get it. I get it now. There is no place for that kind of stuff on my show. I will be more mindful. I hope I can be a better talk show host and a better person. This has been an eye-opening experience.
I'm a dumbass.
Here's the other thing. The Atlanta Falcons, home of football players who do nothing but respect women all day long. The Falcons tweeted, embarrassed by Mike Bell's comments, given he's on our flagship station, inappropriate and disappointing. Oh, hold on. Let me get rid of this.
Inappropriate comment.
Exactly. So yeah, he got called out though. To be fair, there have been other women doing stuff. Susan Waldman's been doing Yankee games for quite some time, and she's fucking awful. she's just fucking awful. So when I see and hear a woman doing analysis who's really as good as any other guy hanging around, it's shut up. Shut up. He should be sentenced to listen to the entire Yankee season with Susan Waldman. She's a nightmare.
She's
just terrible.
Yeah.
And that's what you should get. And I'm criticizing specifically Susan Waldman because she's terrible, as are a lot of the Yankees announcers. It's an A-bomb for A-Rod. Shut up. Jesus. Fucking awful. That would be the worst. That is one of the worst punishments I can think of. That would sort of be like Clockwork Orange style punishment where they, instead of holding your eyes open with toothpicks, they make you listen to all of the Yankee broadcasts for a season.
They keep you awake.
If you're not a Yankee fan.
Yeah.
It's an A-bomb for A-Rod.
Is that
an actual home run call.
Yeah.
An A-bomb for A-Rod.
I'm an a-hole.
What is it? When Mark Teixeira hits a home run, it's a long-distance text. Okay. I believe that's what it is.
That's beautiful.
It's awesome. Okay. There's been a lawsuit against McDonald's for $1.5 million. Now, there are legitimate lawsuits, including one against McDonald's for a woman who had her lap disfigured by hot coffee. And people laughed at her. I'm going to take a chance and laugh at this man. He's taking a bite out of something much bigger than a Big Mac in his latest litigation, and he's filed a lot of them. Webster Lucas is suing McDonald's for $1.5 million after an incident that started with a napkin. See, back in January, he sat down to enjoy a quarter cheese deluxe burger at a Pacoima McDonald's when he noticed only one napkin in his bag. Just one. The lawsuit states Lucas approached the counter and asked the manager for more. The suit alleges the manager, and I quote, developed a nasty attitude and mumbled a few words before Lucas told him that he doesn't have to act like that. Now, according to court documents, the manager continued his rude behavior, prompting Lucas to say, I should have went to Jack in the Box because I didn't come here to argue over napkins. I came here to eat. That's when the verbal bout became nasty. The lawsuit alleges the manager began to curse, yelling across the aisle. Offended, Lucas said, is it because I'm black? I've started yelling that, too, at people. I start confrontations, and when people challenge me, I just go, is it because I'm black? And then they look at me funny, and they don't bother me anymore.
Because you're a crazy white man.
That's right. The manager allegedly responded to the question by saying, you people, leading to Lucas to believe that he's being discriminated against because of the lawsuit. It's napkin discrimination, I tell you. The subsequent lawsuit filed in February against the general manager of the McDonald's Corporation claims Lucas suffered undue mental anguish, emotional distress because he was discriminated against. The defense claims McDonald's made every effort to smooth the situation over in favor of their store manager. In an email to Lucas, the general manager apologized for his unsatisfactory visit and thanked him for his feedback. Lucas responded, and I'm not kidding. This is in the thing. I am unable to work because of the undue mental anguish and intentional infliction of emotional distress caused by your employee who played around when asked for the proper spelling of his last name that I still don't have. Take care. In a statement, McDonald's director of U.S. media relations, Lisa McComb, said, we understand this customer was disappointed with his visit. We've made every effort to make it right for him. We have not been served with a lawsuit yet. The case against McDonald's is not the first time he's taken on a fast food joint. He's filed lawsuits against the aforementioned Jack in the Box on two separate occasions. He's not received any compensation for his claims. According to court documents, over the last decade, he has brought cases against Walmart and Denny's, amongst others. But a small claims suit against an auto body shop were dismissed. In each case, he did not hire a lawyer. Here's a tip. Hire a lawyer.
Especially against the multi-million dollar corporation.
There's plenty of lawyers who will do it for a cut of whatever you get.
Yeah, and if you hire a lawyer, they'll actually just give you something to go away.
Right? Right? It's like, I just thought it's like, only one napkin? Only one napkin.
But at the same time, I've been getting pissed at McDonald's lately because, like, you have to ask for ketchup. You have to ask for ketchup now. They don't just give it to you. You have to ask for ketchup. And they do only put one napkin in the bag now. You know,
is it because you're black?
Possibly. No, I was playing some Notorious B.I.G. when I drove through.
I have one question.
Is it because I'm black? Is it?
Just kidding. Jason is the whitest guy you're going to meet. He only gets one napkin, too. Yeah. Settle down.
And no ketchup. And then if I ask for ketchup, they give me one packet of ketchup. It's a medium fry. It's a medium fry. Who's going to use one packet of ketchup?
My favorite is, like, at Burger King, they'll put signs up saying, here are the number of sauce packets you get with chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Extras are going to cost you extra.
Oh, yeah. No,
they're going to cost you extra.
I usually get so pissed.
My favorite Burger King, there's a Burger King on Stockton Boulevard. It's near where I work. And you pull in there. Sometimes I'll go because I want a sandwich for breakfast. And you pull in, and this, and I might have said this before on the show, but there's this happy white older gentleman that comes and goes, "Welcome to Burger King. Can I take your order?" And you go, "Yeah, I'll have a number two meal, please." And the response is, "You want number two?"
Number two.
No, just this a perfectly lovely Asian lady who feels the need to talk incredibly loudly into the drive-thru will then get your number two. All right. And then you'll have a massive number two if you have a croissant sandwich.
Get ready for some judging.
Nope, that's not it. it's been a long day. I'm just saying it's been a long day.
It's almost over.
It is. You know how I know?
And now, the Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place. It's time for Small Town News.
That's right. It's time for some Little Bits by Gordy Little. More than a few dozen people click onto a social site each morning and check to see what I posted about the weather.
It's a lot.
I keep it simple with such descriptions as 34 degrees, no breeze, clear skies over the river at 5:16 a.m. The responses are delightful, like 83 degrees over the peaches, 34 from the thermometer on the spare tire of my camper. I love learning new words. Pluviophile is one of them. It's appropriate as we watch reports of horrendous rains causing floods in the southeastern U.S. coast this week. We have relatives in South Carolina and are worried sick about their welfare. I don't think any of us would enjoy seeing rains that don't stop for days on end. But there are others of us who, according to one definition of pluviophile, are, quote, lovers of rain who find joy and peace of mind during rainy days. I guess I fit that category. It comes from my late mother, who loved nature. During what she called a gully washer, she would say, "Gordy, get your raincoat and galoshes." Then she would take me by the hand and we would venture out into the storm, walking straight down the middle of our country road while being pelted by wind-driven blasts, surrounded by clashing thunder and brilliant lightning. By the way, now Gordy would be taken away. Because walking your child down a rainy country road where you could get hit by a car...
Or struck by lightning.
Or struck by lightning. But she never called us pluviophiles. That's a new one for me. I knew the word pluvial relating to what I think of as heavy rain. It's comforting to finally learn that my condition has a name. Petrichor is another one.
He was on the P section.
One definition describes it as an earthly scent produced when rain falls on dry soil. My mother always told me I smelled... what I smelled during a rainstorm was the ozone. Yes, the ozone. Then, of course, there are the ways we describe how hard it's raining. Kay and I enjoyed rain pelting down on the tin roof of our enclosed deck. We giggle and sing all the rain songs we know. Phrases about rain, right as rain or shine, take a rain check, rain on your parade, not knowing enough to come in out of the rain. Other cultures have their own rain words and phrases. I love it when British meteorologists say it's really tippling down out there today. I might echo the old farmer I once worked for. "We can't get any hay in today, Gordy. It's coming down like a cow peeing on a flat rock." By the way, that's the end of the article. That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
That's how he ends it?
That's it.
It was short this week.
That's, that's it. He's done.
I just thought that people, like, lots of people.
He's out. That's it. That's it for Gordy Little. That's it for us. That's it for this week on the Nate Darling Show. If you're looking for something to do tonight, Friday night, it's Juke Joint Fridays at the Brickhouse Art Gallery in Oak Park. $15 at the door. Cash, people.
You should be there. You should be there right now.
Cash. If you're not there, go. Say hello to Kareem. And
say hello for me.
Enjoy the comedy.
Bring you a little... short ass. I still haven't met the future missus.
Oh, I'll see if I can bring her out. Maybe I'll. She plays softball.
Oh, I see.
You say she got a better arm than you do.
True that.
You're gonna have to teach your kids how to throw.
And man, she played college soccer. You know, she's the athletic one.
So she could literally kick your ass.
If she wanted to.
Literal kick.
Literal.
Not beat you up. Just kick your ass.
She'd kick my ass.
There you go. As long as she doesn't give you a header to the balls. That would be more unpleasant than it sounds.
I heard that stops once we get married.
That's a good place to stop talking. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you next week for more fun and thrills on the Nate Darling Show. Bye-bye.